This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby. Over under 7.5. Whether we're talking wins or we're talking draft position, Cynthia Freeland says take the under for your Dallas Cowboys. Let's talk about it here on 105.3. Before we get into that, let's make this note really quickly, because this is just a brief throwaway thing that I'd seen, but it turns out that we might still have a shot at Giannis here in DFW. And the man you can thank for that, it's not Nico Harrison or Patrick Dumont or even
Cooper Flagg. Trade him.
Not Cooper Flagg, not new Kyle Dallas Wings Yelman's super fan, Dirk Nowitzki. No, it's Jerry Jones. During a Q&A on Twitter, he was doing an Ask Me Anything the other day, Giannis was, and he was asked, do you have a favorite NFL team now that you've been in the States a while? And he said, well, first he said the Packers, but forget that. That's just because he plays for the Bucks right now. He said Packers and Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, man.
So can we finally use the Dallas Cowboys influence to woo someone to Dallas?
I mean, they don't, so.
No. Might as well leverage it to somebody else. Yeah.
No, because some of the other Q&As were, out of all the cities you've ever been to, which city made you the happiest to be there? He said Florida cities.
Florida cities.
Yes.
All of them.
What's your favorite city to play in on the road? He said New York. All those in the Eastern Conference, which Kendrick Perkins says he wants to stay in. And you also have Windhorse and others saying just don't totally rule it out that Giannis leaves Milwaukee. So
yeah, and Florida, the Florida cities, if you wanted to use the, as I know we do like to use the, well, there's no taxes here. There's no taxes in Florida either.
Right.
So you get the same benefit. And if he likes, and a lot of people do like the Florida beaches, I understand that. You know, Miami is that one. Miami's the city you always have to worry about if you're an NBA. If you're an NBA team looking to lure a free agent, you always have to worry about Miami. Because if you're super rich, man, there are few places that you can do better in. You can do it right. Miami's expensive. You got to do it right.
All right, let's take a look at the projected win totals here for the Dallas Cowboys, which we've been talking about a lot about today in the last couple of days, because Sean is now firmly on the bandwagon of that 7.5. I want the over.
I want the over. Tolo Chris said, I'll take the bet for you since Peyton gave me such a hard time earlier, even though he's going to Vegas.
Well, can you give me cash? So, can you mail it in yourself? Yeah. Can you do? What's the point of even
I
having
said
Peyton?
Venmo. I said Venmo.
You said Cash's cool. Question was.
I'm all in on the over. I think it's a solid.
And it's the
number.
Favorite now, right?
Favorite by a wide margin.
Well, not according to Cynthia Freeland. What are your thoughts on one Cynthia Freeland? I'll tell you, Cynthia kind of drives me nuts reading her score projections every week. She's like, according to my model, the Dallas Cowboys will win this 19-18. It's like, no, they won't. Nobody's ever won an NFL game 19-18.
Scoregami.
You need to round your numbers up or down because this is not the way to do it. It makes your score seem unrealistic.
This is where I think the analytics group loses their moral high ground. Not moral high ground, but their high ground. They're too dug in on, this is what the stats show. It's not wrong. There's no such thing as being wrong.
Cowboys will score 19.3 points. What are you talking about?
Now, you're taking it literally, but they're also using it literally.
Yeah, she puts score projections in there of 16-15 will be the score.
Yeah, I saw this. Her score, her win total this year is 7.2. Well, factually, they can't win 7.2 games.
Right. But
it's now, 7 or 8.
Now, regardless, though, you are talking about where you're roughly projected to go, and that's fine. But here, because of that projection, thanks for spoiling it by saying it's 7.2, Chop. here's the teams that you are slated to finish above, according to Cynthia Freeland's projection. The number one pick in the draft will go to the New Orleans Saints as the worst team in football.
Arch Manning.
Then it is the, oh boy.
Planning for Manning.
There we go. It's the whole lottery. It's like the rigged lottery. The New Orleans Saints, number two pick. The New York Giants. Then it's the Cleveland Browns, the Tennessee Titans, the New York Jets, the Carolina Panthers, followed closely by your Dallas Cowboys as the seventh worst team in football.
I'll tell you this.
Wow.
If the Cowboys pick seventh, if they pick in the top 12 again next year and they select seventh, they have to take quarterback.
If things fall apart to that extent, that either means he got hurt or he was bad.
Yeah. What the hell, man?
Yeah,
This is going to be one of the great us versus Vegas debates that I'll remember here.
2014, yeah. Baby.
This is the first time.
Seventh worst record.
That I can recall where you guys have dug in so aggressively against what Vegas is projecting. Now, you said 2014 was a similar one?
2014, I think the over-under was either 8 or 8.5, and we were actually going to, I think we were about the under that year. Because they were so bad. They had gone 8-8, 8-8, 8-8.
They got destroyed by San Francisco in the opener that year.
Yeah, and then everybody was disappointed. Not disappointed, but the Zach Martin draft pick was, all right, it's a good pick, but Romo's been injured. DeMarco was the running back. You know, we knew about DeMarco, but it wasn't like, all right, this guy's going to be the next stud. So there was a lot of questions, and it turned out to be as good as it gets. That was maybe Tony's best shot other than it was either that or 2007.
Here's some of this is her brief write-up, and she doesn't really go into any sort of explanation other than she says the Cowboys' toughest three-game stretch is weeks 12, 13, and 14 where they get the Eagles, the Chiefs, and then Detroit for a Thursday Night Football clash. It's important to remember that if Dak Prescott and Micah Parsons, who each miss time in 2024, are available all season, Dallas's ceiling increases.
Wow, what a hot take.
Especially if rookie right guard Tyler Booker is able to get acclimated. The first round pick had the highest floor and was my highest rated lineman at his position in this year's draft. So her model, and this is something that when we've been at the Super Bowl and we've talked to Thomas Dimitroff and Eric Eager from Sumer Sports, one of the things we said was, hey, where do you feel like analytics is still lacking? And they both said it comes in injuries. That basically the injury prediction model is not great and that they haven't been able to account for much of that at all. Well, it sounds like her model is projecting that Mike and Dak are just not going to be able to stay healthy consistently enough, which Mike is an interesting one because we've seen there's a little bit of the, as you've termed it, the Micah Doncic, like maybe selling the my shoulder.
Yeah.
It hurts. Got to come off. And then I'm going to warrior back out there after my can of C4 or my C4 powder, and I'm going to get 3 sacks. But it seems like her biggest issue with Dallas is she doesn't trust that their key players are going to be able to stay healthy enough. She says win total, she's going under the 7.5. Here are the odds for the rest of it. Make the playoffs, they're plus 190. Win the division, they're plus 700, which is twice as bad as the odds for Carolina to win their division. Obviously, worst division, but you're talking about a bad Carolina team the last couple of years. Win the conference is plus 2,800 and win the Super Bowl plus 5,500. So if you like the Cowboys to win the division or you like the Cowboys on those odds, you're going to be able to take advantage of that. Now, when we talk about the schedule strength and some of the issues that Dallas is running to on that front. Because we had all said, hey, look, Cowboys have a really brutal schedule here. Not only is it one of the more difficult schedules by win-loss record, but just the way it's structured and the way that it's set up makes things really difficult. Well, again, over at NFL.com, Eric Edholm, formerly of Yahoo Sports, listed the teams with the toughest schedules. And he broke down the teams that just have from strength of schedule and the way their lineup or the way their schedule is structured, where they got to go on the road and different things like that. He has the 7 toughest schedules in football. And he does not have the Dallas Cowboys even in the top 7. So apparently we're whining a little bit is what the Nationals seem to think, is that Cowboys aren't even in the top quarter of most difficult schedules in the NFL. They're
well,
not.
I thought it was 11th hardest. So wouldn't this add up? That you're not in the
no. I thought it was
no. Theirs is
11th most difficult.
No, strength of schedule. Theirs is one of the more difficult. Yeah, they're in like the top five. So what you've got right here, in fact, tied for 11th. That's the Kansas City Chiefs, who are listed 7th. So even though the Chiefs have the 11th most difficult strength of schedule, the Chiefs are still 7th on this list because of they talk about the way that their schedule is structured, the way they got to go on the road, do different things like that. But they've got the Vikings, they've got the Lions, like all these different teams listed on here. In fact, the number one toughest schedule on this list is the Detroit Lions, which they're tied 2nd for strength of schedule. But they say that basically the way that this breaks down in terms of where the bye week is structured, when they have to go on the road, the games that they have to play late in the season, this makes for the most difficult run for them. But this is, again, I'm finding that, you know, yesterday we talked earlier about the power rankings for the Rangers, or we talked earlier about how the new ones came out for CBS Sports, and they shot them up 6 spots like that for the win streak. I feel like MLB writers and national MLB analysts are waiting for the Rangers to click. Like, they like them. They like their potential. They were talking them up before the season. They want it to go well. So when they get the first indication that things are going well, they jump on it. Similarly, it's felt like in years past, the Cowboys have been that team. When the Cowboys start doing things well, feels like writers and analysts are quick to jump on, like, yep, this is the team we've been waiting for. It feels like there's a little bit of national analyst fatigue of the Cowboys. Like, where they're like, I'm tired of banking on it coming through. Because all these different projections you have, national analysts are taking the under on these win projections. They're not moving them a significant amount from the George Pickens and draft, you know, the draft that they had in the George Pickens acquisition. You've got people trying to downplay the difficulty of their schedule. It feels like there's a little bit of, we're tired of the excuses for the Cowboys, either they're going to do it or not, but we're not going to buy into
them. They absolutely should be tired of it. It's been every year that they're like, that we hear about this team, how great the roster is.
Fox declining the extra games, like we talked about.
Every year. If there's fatigue in DFW for the Cowboys, then there has to be fatigue nationally.
Who says there's, why is there DFW fatigue?
I mean, doesn't it feel like there is? Certainly does to me.
I mean, the games, there's no metric in terms of ratings, popularity, money, merchandise that shows there's any fatigue.
I don't know. I just
optimism. Maybe optimism. Like the sunshine. They still want to talk about them all the time. But there's a little bit of self-loathing Cowboys fans right now.
Yeah, they're tired of the same thing. We already know how the season's going to end. You know, it's just like,
well, you know where how it's going to end. It's going to end in a Super Bowl. That's there what we're going to feel like after today, because OTAs get going today. We're going to get our first look at these Dallas Cowboys out on the field. I'll be out there at the Star in Frisco later today. Brian Schottenheimer press conference at 11:45, interrupting KNC for probably, gosh, they get a whole half hour off, I would imagine. Kevin Hagelin in there, and then he'll probably replay it at 1. But we are going to get Cowboys open locker today, so we're going to hear from players, and we'll also get our first look at some of these guys on the football field.
No better place to be than your home of America's team. That is our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Belt, every day inside the Star at 8:40 here on DFW Sports Station. Choppy has you covered with some Diamond Cavs. He says the Rangers should win this Yankees series, and he's got some advice for the great Bruce Bochy. RJ Choppy, Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers with the Yankees tonight after this.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby.
Oh, PFF has made an enemy out of George Pickens.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's about to be just like me. He's going to be going on a crusade against PFF. More on that here in just a second. First, Below the Belt is sponsored by D&M Leasing. Check them out at dmautoleasing.com. So we've heard the line recently. It's not 1A, 1B. These are two ones, baby. We're equal. We're equal alphas here.
I mean, let's hear from CeeDee Lamb. Ross, this is Cut 7. This was CeeDee with Bobby getting this audio the other day out at OTAs talking about having two ones.
We can compliment each other. If he's tired, I can guarantee you I'm not. You know, so just being his backbone and being here for him and letting him know that he got some help on the other side for sure, that's a dog and that's willing to win. And I'm going to do everything in my power to do that. As we all know, the show don't stop for sure.
I can guarantee I won't be tired if
so
he is.
What he was getting at, I think, was the idea of, like, if he's getting beat up and abused, that means I'm free on the other side.
Okay.
So if he's tired, I can pick him up. If I'm getting worn down, if I'm getting a bunch of attention, he's freed up. So now there is, I did have it suggested, and this was an interesting thought. I was talking to one of the reporters out there on Tuesday, and I was saying, like, so how do you think this is gonna play out here, the passing offense? Because you guys were saying the other day you think the passing offense is gonna be really good this year.
Top 10 in points.
So their thought is, or their concern right now is, what if they just say, you need to prove you can run the ball? And so what we're going to do is we're going to, like, dedicate both safeties, safety help over the top, to both of you. Pickens and Lamb are both getting double teamed, and you guys need to run the football. And let's see if you can do it, because you haven't been able to even run against light boxes the last year or two. And that they think that this is going to basically be a challenge to the run game. And until they show they can run the ball, passing game's not going to get going at all. Which I don't think is... That I think you could see teams take that approach and say, we'll take it away.
Well, then the Great Wall needs to take
over.
Great Wall.
And that's it.
Great Wall 3.0?
Great Wall 3. Yeah, it could be 4.0. I mean, if you want to go back to the 90s.
Yeah, I was counting the 90s.
Yeah, and then 07, 08, 09.
Oh, hey, what was that? Young Ross again giving us the history lesson. Tell us.
Okay. Well, just so the 90s. What did you consider, like, the 70s? Was that like... quote-unquote, like a Great Wall of Dallas? Because I know they consider the 90s to be.
They had, I mean, the 70s offensive line was good.
Yeah. But it was a great wall.
Yeah, but they were the doomsday defense. That's what their calling card
this
was.
This is so opposite of Peyton doesn't know what happened last decade.
Oh, 07's too early for Peyton.
Ross has given us the 70s.
Man, just for fun, I used to go and watch those like NFL films they put together for like the Super Bowl champions, and the Great Wall of Dallas was one of them, and I love that. That's so fun to me.
Yeah, I mean, and they were fantastic there. So, yeah, it's a 4.0. Is that what we're up to now?
Because I think the
soon-to-be Great Wall 5.0.
The Leonard Davis, Kozier, Colombo, Gerard, Flozell. I mean, that was a really good unit.
But I think of
I'm keeping it on 3.0.
I was going to say, I think of two eras of dominance. Yeah. I think of that group with Tyron, Zach, and Frederick. And then the other one would be the one from the 90s.
Yeah.
That's the one that I think of. By the way, there was a note from, I got to see if I can find this again. Duke Manyweather pointed out that the last time the Cowboys had a starting right tackle who wasn't an undrafted free agent was Doug Free. Like, and that's wild to think about.
Yeah. I thought the Cowboys were actually going to be better in these statistics when I'm looking at their run game last year. They were 6th worst in the league. And I thought because of Rico, maybe Rico's surprise clouded my memory and said, oh, they were mid-pack. If you get that, that's all you got to do is find another Rico. But just in terms of total yards, they were 6th worst in the league, averaging 4 a carry.
Well, yeah, and they were really bad for like the first 2/3 of the year. It wasn't until Dak went down that like the running game had started clicking a little bit. Cause I mean, they had
no threat to pass, no disrespect to Cooper.
But by the way, Cooper. I remember when 4 yards a carry was like, hey, that's a really good running attack.
Yep.
And now 4 yards a carry is, what'd you say, bottom 6?
Yeah.
So the 6 highest rushing performances from the Cowboys last year, it started with the Atlanta game when Dak got hurt. So the 6 highest performances they had last year all came in the second half of the season.
Now, you got Lamar in this, but the team leader in yards per carry last year was Baltimore 5.8.
Oh, God.
And then Arizona 5.3, Tampa 5.3.
Okay. Oh, Arizona, you say, with Clayton Adams, who's now installing his run game concepts here in Dallas. Maybe that'll take hold a little bit. And they'll need it to take hold because apparently their wide receiver duo is not very good, according to Pro Football Focus. Not that it's
with
not
Marvin,
very good. It's not
Jack Marvin Harrison.
It's not that it's not very good. No, Dallas here. Oh. I'm saying they're going to need to lean on their running game a little bit. So PFF came out with their wide receiver rankings. These are the top 32 ahead of the 2025 season, which 32 teams. In theory, if you want to stretch it to every team has a number one receiver. So in theory, there's 32 ones, or there should be roughly 32 ones out there. The Dallas Cowboys show up on this list. Where do you think CeeDee Lamb came down on the list of the best receivers in the NFL?
4th.
Nope, outside the top 5.
6th.
Yep, 6th. Got it. Number 1 is AJ Brown from the Eagles. In fact, they separated into tier 1 and tier 2.
Good Lord.
Tier 1 is AJ Brown, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase. That's Justin, the tier 1.
Well, AJ Brown doesn't belong up there in my opinion. Good receiver, but he's on a lower tier than those guys.
Tier 2, just ahead of CeeDee Lamb. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Which I would take CD over Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Same.
Any day of the week.
Yep.
And I would also take CD over number 5 on this list, Puka Nacua from the Rams. Puka Nacua is a really good player. He's not CD. CD to me is one of the guys who, like, he's not there right now. There will be a time in his career, I think, where we'll be talking about CD Lamb's the best receiver in football. Like, I think that he's got that capacity, and he's going to be pretty consistently a top 5 guy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But when you go down this list and you start looking past there and I go, all right, where's George Pickens showing up in the remaining top 32? He does not make an appearance. In fact, if you're to take this list from PFF, PFF would say not only do the Cowboys have, which I've seen some fans ask the question, is this the best receiver duo in the NFL? Not only do they not have the best in the NFL, they don't have the second best even in the NFC East. According to this list, they say Philadelphia and Washington's receiver duo is better with Deebo Samuel and Terry McLaurin. I don't think the Deebo Samuel we know today, I don't know that I take him over George Pickens.
Well, this is a total opposite stylistic fight with flash in Dallas and just solid floor in Washington. You know Terry McLaurin, right? He's not going to wow you and splash you a ton. Deebo Samuel, versatile, a lot of running game stuff. So you got style versus substance with those two, but I would take I would take CeeDee and Pickens right now.
Over Washington.
Yes. And I would take CeeDee and Pickens over Philadelphia's.
I don't know that I disagree. It's just so to me, CeeDee's better than AJ Brown and
yes.
and DeVonta Smith. I kind of wonder sometimes if maybe I underrate DeVonta Smith.
Yeah.
Because I mean I do know that he's a threat. Every time you watch him on tape, you're like, man, he's really good. But I also just feel like
I've been a little underwhelmed.
He's a little anonymous, I feel like, at times. Like, I feel like he fits into, when I think of
68 for 833 and 8 last year. Season.
I think of Calvin Ridley when I think of a guy like DeVonta Smith. Like, so, I think of that type of a player.
Yeah. CBS did the top 10 wide receiver duos. They had Jacksonville at 10 with Travis Hunter and Brian Thomas Jr.
Brian Thomas Jr. was the 15th receiver on this list from PFF.
He balled out.
Tampa was 9. Washington was 8. Miami was 7 with Waddle and Tyreek.
Yeah, Tyreek's getting forgot about a little bit.
The Rams are at 6 with Puka and Devontae. That's pretty stout.
Well, I'm
down on Devontae.
Yeah, he's having Devontae questions.
Detroit is 5 with Amon-Ra and Jameson Williams. Jameson Williams had 58 catches for 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he's explosive.
Then the Cowboys at 4.
Yep.
And then you had Minnesota with Jefferson and Addison. Then you had Cincinnati, Chase and Higgins, obviously, and then Philadelphia 1.
Boy, I think I've made up in my mind I've got a crusade this year against T. Higgins. I'm tired of him being forced down my throat as, like, awesome. He's fine. But, like, T. Higgins to me, okay, great. You have Jake Reed. Awesome. It's not Chris Carter or Randy Moss. He's a good player. But to me, it's also like you can – if Jamar Wait, Chase is taken
saying
out of the game –
T. Higgins is Reed?
Yeah. I mean, I'm being
– He's more –
I'm exaggerating.
He's
but,
pretty Chris Carter-y.
No, I disagree. T. Higgins is a guy –
I know. He's probably better because Chris kind of was – Buns.
All he does is catch touchdowns.
Yeah, not interested.
That's all I'm that he does.
Not interested. I'm interested in moving the sticks, baby. What do you do for me between the 20s?
What?
I mean, if you're talking about what T. Higgins has done, these have been his totals.
Lou Holtz says, right? You win games with first downs, not touchdowns.
When you look at where T. Higgins has been, and you got to remember,
Lou Holtz says a lot of things.
You've got T. Higgins who's been playing opposite Chase and with Burrow, right? Like, I mean, that should be easy money for him. When you look at his career over the course of his career, his average in 5 seasons now is he averages 919 yards receiving a season. In first 3 years for George Pickens, he averages 947. Like, right. Pickett, like Higgins, to me, Higgins being talked about is like, you got to pay him $30 million. It's like, no, thank you.
But I think what you're missing is it's harder to get 900 yards when you're opposite of a one who's getting 175 targets than it is when you're George Pickens and you are the one.
Yeah, but you're the one with who? Trubisky and Mason Rudolph, and it does.
Great wide receivers, if you're going to get 100-plus targets, you're going to get, like, you're going to eat.
Hold on, so you think playing with Burrow and getting single coverage as the two is easier than being the one in Pittsburgh in a run-first offense with a rotation of quarterbacks?
Not necessarily easier, but I'm saying is when the other guy on your other side is getting 175 targets.
But so the efficiency should be through the roof on Higgins then, and it's not.
My issue with Higgins is he has a terrible catch percentage. I mean, he had 110 targets last year, but he only had 70 catches. Like, that's terrible.
Can't believe we're dedicating this much time to T. Higgins.
But well, in general, we're talking about the way the receivers stack up. But
look, when you look at targets last year, I just wanted to see who had bums throwing to him to y'all's minor debate. Malik was 2nd. He still balled out. Drake London, not the best quarterback situation in Atlanta. Justin Jefferson burned me in fantasy. I was like, his quarterback's gone. Did not matter for him. And then Garrett Wilson with Aaron Rodgers and the terrible season that they had. And then Brock Bowers. So it's interesting. The top 6 targets, except for Jamar, and Darnold was good for 3/4 of the year, had bad quarterback situations.
What do you say if I tell...
That's just targets.
What's the stat line just off the top of your head for you that you say, if George Pickens gets that, I'm saying that's a successful season as the other one, since we can't say he's 1B or whatever.
70-plus catches, at least... 8 touchdowns.
Okay. So So that you're more about the catches and the touchdowns. You're not necessarily thinking volume yards. That's not
it
as much of a concern.
It could be volume. It could be a lot of different things. I don't have it set in my mind.
Okay. Like I think he's going. I think they're going to have 2,000-yard receivers this year.
B-Lo.
B-Belt.
On the home of the Cowboys with Roberto, our Cowboys insider here on DFW Sports Station. Back to football with the Red Zone at 9:20. But we got to get back to the ice with the stunner. What are they saying in Edmonton? Some behind enemy lines with Oilers fans next on Sean and RJ.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, oh man, Corey Majors and the famous Alec Medford asking the questions that matter.
How much food is too much food?
Clearly, I haven't found out yet. But also, I did for like a little bit. But also, are you a bad person if you don't think that Andor is like the greatest TV show ever made? You can be like, it's good, but like,
I'm not through the show yet. I've finished season one. I'm up to season five of
two.
I'm up to episode five of season two.
Why do you think it's taking you so long?
Just because it takes me a long time to watch. You know this, dude.
Why else?
It takes me three. All right, hold on. First off, it takes me 3 days to watch a movie.
Back.
That's just how it is. I watch 30 minutes, and then the rest. That's just how I watch movies. Secondly, it's kind of slow to start. And it was
season one is boring until you get to that one episode.
Season one was, it took a while and then finally it ramped up. And season two, so far, kind of taking a minute to really get going. But I'm told, and I'll trust it. If you're going to be the best show ever,
yeah,
you start hot and you finish hot. You know, you don't have any in between. You maybe have one fly segment. All right.
Sure.
And that's it.
And the back half of the second season is very good. Like, very good. And I like the show. Like, I like it. It's good.
From the 214, my son says not enough pew-pew. So,
yeah.
Pew.
Yeah. And it has some things in it that, like, that's not what I'm looking for in my Star Wars, you know?
like two Jabbas making sweet love to each other?
I mean, that is probably, but I think in the Clone Wars movie, they kind of like insinuated that. But no,
an Ewok orgy.
There's like,
whoa.
There's,
did you say that on radio?
Yeah, there's another word I wanted to use that starts with an R. It's a crime that takes place in that. That I'm like, I'm not really looking for that in my Star Wars or Suicide or yeah, that's not really. I don't. That's not
a
really.
Peaceful rally.
Yeah. No. No. Okay. Don't get me in trouble. I'm fine with that. But I'm just like, there are some things that maybe, you know, I'm not totally looking for my Star Wars, but everyone's told me it's the greatest thing that's ever been. And I was like, oh, I liked it.
Mm.
But if you just say that, you're a bad person.
You can just like things.
Nope.
You can just like things and say they're fine.
Mm. Are you sure about that?
Kind of like, you know, vanilla ice cream. It's fine, right? The really good ice creams are the ones with other flavor, though.
Mm. Oh, I so disagree with that. From the 817, not the Stars talk I was expecting. Fair enough. That's probably not going to be in this segment either. But at 11 o'clock, we do have Joey Erickson coming in, getting you ready for game two of plenty of Stars throughout the day. But we're going to switch it up. We haven't really talked about the Cowboys all week because, you know, right now they don't really matter. So we were going to, oh, sorry. They're in OTAs. That's super important. All right.
Settle down.
Okay, Jerry, I will. All right, that's fair. I will. So we got a couple of questions for you here. Who is the most beloved Cowboys player on the current roster? And then we're going to get around to the quarterback ranking thing that is surely going to inflame a lot of people.
This is interesting because the question beloved means most loved by a majority of people.
Yes. Right? Now, one of the reasons that this came up, and this is a fan text that we had a while back when we were having some conversation about Micah. And somebody from the 903 texted in, if we trade Micah, we will have the same Luka situation all over again. He is currently the most beloved Cowboys player. So first, I kind of wanted to put that to the test. And secondly, even if he does win this, mm-hmm. I don't think he's anywhere near on the level of belovedness of Luka. But that's just my opinion from the amount of fans like we have complaining about those two particular players. Yeah.
But as beloved as Luka?
I don't think so.
I think that he probably has more lovers. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean it like that, Micah. When I say that, because the Cowboys fan base is larger,
there are more
people that yes. love Micah because it's just based on sheer percentages. There was a very loud group, though, about Luka. A very loud group because that's the first time they've ever been shocked that way. I think it's CeeDee Lamb. That being said, I still know the conversation. Man, no, somebody's right. Aubrey, it's definitely Brandon Aubrey. He's the most. Nobody hates Brandon Aubrey. He's a kicker. But if I'm going to go with somebody different, it is CeeDee Lamb in my mind because he does give you the most pizzazz. He's making big plays. He's your best offensive player by far. And so I think I think he's the one that's out of the rest of the roster. He's the most beloved right now.
All right.
But there's a lot of hate against him too.
So Alec, I'm going to get to you in just one second, but on my list, I did have Brandon Aubrey, CeeDee Lamb, and then I wrote down Tyler Smith as the third one. And I was like, who are you kidding? Like, I think people appreciate him a lot, but I don't necessarily know if that is the word that I would use to describe him. And it was at that point that I realized I was kind of stumped. And it's not necessarily all these Cowboys' fault, but Cowboys fans carry a lot of baggage. And I know the team has to move on year over year, but that's not necessarily how the fan base works.
Yeah, there's no real conversation for me outside of Brandon Aubrey.
I seriously
think he can do no wrong right now in this moment in the eyes of the fan base because he has been practically perfect at every time that you've needed him.
You've
needed him a lot because that offense has fizzled out a lot. And it's pretty much automatic. You say, hey, if you get past that blue star in the middle of the field, then we're going to get 3 points at minimum. But outside of that, I would say Tyler Smith, but you kind of got me thinking there too. So,
I mean that as a compliment for Tyler Smith because you don't ever really feel like anybody says anything negative about him.
Exactly.
But I was like, yeah, like the general fan base, are they like, oh my God, I love that Tyler Smith? I don't know.
I would pivot from there to Daron Bland. That would be where I go, because he did set the record a couple of seasons ago. And when he is playing, I know he missed a lot of time last year, he does really good things on the football field, and people feel like they're not going to throw to him because he's going, like, he feels feared now. So I think the fan base is kind of latched onto the idea that he is a true cornerback one. And they're like, all right, we know they're not going to look his way very often. So we're not, again, kind of like a Tyler Smith thing. We're not having to say his name as much, even when he doesn't get an interception or something, because he's not giving up any damage.
And see, like a year ago, so heading into the 2024 season, I think I would have been 100% with you. And then I think a year before that, heading into 2023, if I have my timeline right, I think it would have been Trayvon Diggs. But unfortunately, money and injuries for one and injuries for the other, and when the hell are we ever going to consistently see these guys play alongside one another, has kind of undercut that. But I get your point.
Yeah, Overshown definitely has gotten a lot of love.
Yep.
And with the, and sometimes not seeing all the holes can definitely make you like something more, because you're like, oh, there's no warts on it, obviously. But the wart for him is injury bug. Like, that's just the reality for him at the moment. Maybe his career never has another one after this, but right now that's what you're experiencing. But the love, because of the play that you've seen and the personality that goes along with it.
And I saw somebody bring up Zach Martin if he didn't retire, and I think that's fair, but unfortunately,
was he though?
He did. Do you not think?
I think as far as play goes, you were just like, yep, he's the model of consistency.
But he didn't play like a sexy position.
Yeah, and you didn't. And honestly, the personality is, we liked him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was really fun with us and everything. But the personality, I guess with G-Bag, it did grow a little more. You know, so that's probably more likely. But I just didn't feel like the personality really stuck out in any way, shape, or form, good or bad. It was just like, he's just the model of consistency.
Is it possible, because I just saw 469 and 682 hit this up, could it possibly be Kevontae Turpin? Like, I know offensively, you're like, oh yeah, we'll see him every once in a while. But it does feel like when it's time for that return,
everybody's waiting, man.
Exactly.
Everybody's waiting for him to do something special. And we're all, and he does. Like, a lot of times he gives you something that you're like, man, that was nice yardage. Can our offense take advantage of it? And maybe he would get a lot more credit for it if the offense did. You know, you know, we talk about this a lot, Kevin, the recognizing moments in games, recognizing moments where, you know what, we can't let this one pass by. We got to go make, you know, take advantage of it. And that's something that I hope the Cowboys do better in the future, is when your kick returner gives you the ball on the other 40, man, you got to make them pay now. Like, you have to recognize this is a moment we can't let go. And I hope that that's something that they get better at this year.
You know, that's an interesting idea, that like every time he returned it to the 20 or the 30, you scored a touchdown. And you're like, oh, well, Turpin helped us get like 14 of those points.
Exactly.
Whatever the case is.
He would get more credit for it.
And this is why I love the feedback here, because basically it's like, well, if this didn't happen, it would be him. And if this didn't happen, it would be him. And then the consensus is, I don't know. Maybe not really anybody. Like, you
oh, look, Jerry.
Yeah. Okay. No, not
Shoddy.
It is not Jerry Jones.
Shoddy's got a lot of love right now.
Actually, yes. And we will get to a potentially intriguing topic about him later in the show. But I want to pivot to something else, Cowboys, right here. And I'm sure this won't make anybody happy or mad or whatever. Pro Football Focus ranked all 32 starting quarterbacks heading into the 2025 season. Number 32 on the list, Tyler Shuck. Tough break, man. Then Mason,
because he says his name wrong.
I don't
know. Everybody's like, hold on.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the case, but they're just like, hey, I don't know how many rookies are gonna start straight away. Mason Rudolph is 31. Anthony Richardson is 30. What's interesting about this is, Pro Football Focus doesn't give a damn about what Sam Darnold did last year, because he's at 26 and Cam Ward is at 25 and Michael Penix is at 23.
He is what he is.
Yeah.
Kevin O'Connell did the best that he could, and then eventually the pumpkin had to turn back into what he was.
Yeah. Now, who would you guys say are the top five quarterbacks in the league?
I think Lamar's considered one of the top five quarterbacks.
He's number three on the list.
Joshua Allen.
He is number four on the list.
Look at that. That's a nice guess there.
Again, not my list. Pro Football Focus.
Is Mahomes still?
Patrick Mahomes is number one.
All right. Do you have a guess, Alec?
Jalen Hurts.
Ooh. He won a Super Bowl.
Jalen Hurts is number five.
Okay.
So you guys have one, three, four, and five. You're just missing two.
So this is where it gets tough for me because Jaden Daniels has made his way up, right? But Joe Burrow still exists. So I can't, it's a coin flip for me.
It is a coin flip because one of those players is number two on the list.
It's Joe Burrow. It's got to be.
We'll go with Jabrow.
All right. I don't know if people heard
Jabaro
the show yesterday or the day before when I called him Jabaro or something like that.
Isn't still, that the pizza place in the mall?
Yeah. That's Jabaro. I'm still not entirely sure what happened. I thought about that a lot and I couldn't figure it out. All right, so Pro Football Focus top five, Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, Allen, and Hurts. Even if you don't totally agree with the order, does that feel like a fair representation of who the top five quarterbacks are in the league?
I think so. And that's what it was. I feel like a lot of that was going into last season. Hurts still was trying to make his way into the conversation, but last season it was those names, and we're back to those names again to start this summer.
Where then would you put Dak Prescott on the list going into 2025?
One from the 940, Mahomes number one with the same stats that Aaron Rodgers had last year is laughable.
You know what?
He also made it to the Super Bowl again.
Keep that same energy for the next hour or next couple of hours. Because
man, it's a long time to keep that energy going.
I will address those concerns in a couple of hours.
However, if you have Men's Tea Clinic, you can keep your energy up all the time.
Exactly.
I always say with the Cowboys, middle of the pack. So I'm going to say 16, 15.
Woo! What do you think about Corey Majors over here being a hater?
I think he is a hater. No, I don't think he's that far off. I would say like 14.
Okay.
13. I'm going to go with 14.
All right. So I'm going to run down this list. You tell me if you hear anybody that you're like, come on. How's that person ahead of Dak? Jaden Daniels. Matthew Stafford. Justin Herbert. Jared Goff. Geno Smith.
No.
Yeah, I'm kind of I think he's better than Geno Smith.
I don't think he's better than Jared Goff.
I don't think
he's better than Jared Goff. As a thrower. I think and there was a time when Dak's legs were a difference maker for him. It's not.
Yep.
Unfortunately at this point.
So you do or do not?
I don't think he's better than Geno Smith.
Okay.
So 10, if that's the case, he's better than the 10th person.
Okay. 11, Brock Purdy, Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield, CJ Stroud, Kyler Murray is 15. You have an issue with any of those? If not, I think you're going to have an issue with the next one.
I think he's on par with Purdy. Purdy's team has been superior. Like, that's a superior team, and he's been able to guide that team to success. I think Jordan Love can be a lethal quarterback. I really do. I think he's belongs there. Mayfield's a question mark for me. Because Mayfield's career arc is just so weird.
See, because right now I think Mayfield's better than Smith.
Okay.
Pro Football Focus does not.
CJ Stroud, up year, down year.
Yep.
What's this year going to be? And then I guess we need to wait two more years to figure that out because is it good bow, bad bow? I don't think Kyler's done enough to be better.
Okay.
So I think two of those out and then two of those on par, one's better.
Okay. Alec, do you have issue with any of the people listed above Dak so far?
I'm right there with Corey.
All right.
Baker, you know, it's good now, but it wasn't always good. In the same case with Stroud, amazing rookie year. But what's going to happen now with the new offensive coordinator, we'll see.
16, I think, is people might have an issue with. 16 is Trevor Lawrence, and 17 is Dak Prescott. So I did see some people guess 12. 14 from the 817, Dak at 15, 17. So props to the 682. They hit it right on the mark. And then somebody joked that Dak is 1B. So 17.
He's not 1A, he's 1B. 1B. I like that.
But like kind of going off of what y'all said, maybe three-ish, maybe four-ish quarterbacks that you think he should be ahead of.
Yeah.
Even if that's the case, that would put him then going into the season at 13th or 14th on the quarterback rating scale. Does that feel right to you? I mean, I know we just walked through why it is, but do you go into the season thinking, yeah, we got about the 13th best quarterback?
Yeah. I felt kind of, for a long time, it was anywhere between 7 and 11.
Sure.
And now that number's dropped down further and further.
Right.
And I don't know what's going to change it that much. Some people are still very furious about Justin Herbert's like ranking and just in general.
I'm with you on that.
It isn't very fair, but I think people still go to the live arm and they just look at the live arm first and then the raw talent that he was. But that was a long time ago.
Look, man, I feel like our show has been pretty consistent. Very rarely in recent NFL history has somebody gotten more praise for doing less than Justin Herbert. So I'm with you on that.
This is your home of the Dallas Cowboys. In case you did not know, 105.3 The Fan here with Sean and RJ, along with our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, who went on out to the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco yesterday for Cowboy OTAs. Dak is back. Micah is not. And all eyes on George Pickens, along with the judgment of Brian Schottenheimer's new culture.
Yeah, it's very, it's funny. I was standing there. I can't remember who I was talking to, but we were watching them go out there to work out. And, you know, those like the little like ladder drills they do or whatever. They basically had the entire offense on one side of the field to open practice, the entire defense on the other side of the field. And like they were going through the ladder drills all at the same time or something. It was like odd. It was this weird, like almost like high school or college atmosphere, and they were getting really raucous and loud. And so the energy like instantly out of practice was different than a Garrett practice or a McCarthy practice. Does it equal wins? Is it better or worse? Don't know, but it's different. It definitely, there's a tangible difference in terms of the feeling and the vibe at the practice.
We got louder music and the ping pong table is back.
Oh, baby.
Louder music. What type of music were we going with?
A lot of Nipsey Hussle. Heard three of those. Also heard they ran some Kendrick Lamar out there. They got Not Like Us, which I was standing by Nick Eatman when that started playing. And he's like, my five-year-old walks around the house now going, wop, 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 like just screaming that. But no, loud music, just a really upbeat atmosphere. Donovan Ezeraku was immediately out there in the like line stretching, and he's out there dancing almost the entire practice. Just very loose. It felt like everybody out there was ready to get back on the field. Like it was kind of scratching a niche for them. And it's like, all right, we're back. Let's focus. Let's get going.
Dak Prescott with early impressions of Brian Schottenheimer and the C word.
Yeah, he's doing a hell of a job. He's doing a hell of a job. Great job in building the culture. I mean, look at him right there, seeing and dapping off guys. And that's him. You're going to see him around weight room, the field, the locker room. Preaching about competing every day, but not only that, we're doing them in team meetings, competing at practice, that's the part about today's practice, right? Is that fine line of competing, but doing it smart and being disciplined about it, and he's just doing a hell of a job building the culture, and in a sense, starting over and understanding that, yeah, we do have to do it from the ground up, and it's been fun. It's getting created. I don't want to say that what it's going to become. It's something that's got to define itself and get created amongst all of us, coming together, believing in it, believing in one another, and understanding that this culture is going to be the reason that we win.
Meanwhile, I got the text message that I forgot to actually put out there on May 13th saying Dak is getting cleared today. The doctor is flying in to finalize everything with the Cowboys staff. And it sounded like some reporters were caught off guard a little bit by how much of a participant Prescott was yesterday.
Yeah, in terms of just his movement, he looked, I think he looked more comfortable moving around than I figured he would be. He's still not cleared for contact, but when you watch him move out there, he did some stuff, you know, rolling out and tossing and different things like that. Watching him move around, I was expecting it to look more like laborious than it was. He looked much more comfortable. And so to me, it's like, all right, any question anybody would have had about like, all right, is he going to be ready to go for training camp? That looked like a guy yesterday who 2 months from now should be able to practice without an issue.
Like, because he even said he could play several weeks ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, playing one game versus playing 17 is a completely different story.
Here's Dak on where he is with the rehab.
Pretty much can do it all. I feel good. I think I'm just not cleared for contact, which we've got a while for that anyway. So, I'm out there in the team activities. Feel good. Just trying to obviously stay that way. Feeling great.
And now the player that everyone had their
eyes on the new receiver for now wearing number 13.
Yeah, George Pickens was out there, and yeah, that was the one of the first things we saw is he's got the he's taken over the Michael Gallup number, or the DeMarvian Overshow number, now that that's been left for number zero. But when you watch him out there yesterday, it's clear he's still, George Pickens is still getting his feel for where he's supposed to be in the offense, what he's supposed to be doing. He's getting up to speed on a lot of different things. Because when you watched him out there, he was clearly during some of the team stuff in the 7-on-7, he's just figuring out, all right, where do I need to go here? What do I need to do? Where there wasn't a whole lot of just, hey, let's feed George Pickens the ball every time. But they were working him in there a lot with the second team even, because they're clearly just trying to get him reps, get him up to speed, get him where he needs to be. But he looked good out there. He looks like an imposing figure. He is a big, tall, athletic receiver, and I mean it pops when you're out there standing watching. Like, he stands out among everybody.
Brian Schottenheimer with first impressions on his extra number one receiver.
CD said it best. I saw his comments, right, where we don't do A's and B's. We think that there's a one over there, as CD said it, and if you look over there, there's a one there. So I think that's the way that we view GP. My time with him has been just incredible. When he came in after the trade, just getting a chance to really get to know him. We had a little free throw shooting competition. I think he beat me twice. I've beaten him once, but the last time we played, I beat him. So I do want to put that out there that I did beat him. But it's really just, you know, us getting to know each other. I think we were all on board. You know, I think we're always trying to find the right pieces and good pieces. And I think we're really excited about what he brings as a football player. But I see a guy that's maturing. I see a guy that we're excited to put out there and watch him grow and get better. And you guys will see him out there today. He obviously is a tremendous athlete. But I love watching him in meetings, because in meetings he's been so dialed in, taking great notes. He knows he's a little bit behind, not a lot, but a little bit behind in terms of what the veterans are doing. But his intentionality in the meeting room has been really cool for me to see.
What in the hell are you doing free throw shooting for in a football practice?
You just heard it right there, and it led to some reporters side texting yesterday out of practice, like just fawning over Brian Schottenheimer. Like, go and compare this to Mike. I don't want to get in the weeds, especially with Bobby here, about any McCarthy comparison, but Brian Schottenheimer has won the offseason at the microphone. Again, what will it actually mean? But it just seems like all the little things, finding out where a player is at for his birthday and getting the restaurant to send a bottle of champagne. Drinking a little bit, drinking some shotties with Mike and CD in the golf cart. Putting the ping pong table back and shooting free throws with George Pickens, just trying to build all those relationships.
Yeah, he's clearly, this has been the top priority for him, has been culture and has been establishing that. And you know, Shotty talked about it a little bit yesterday, the idea of just, you know, OTA attendance is important for you're trying to get different things down, whether it be with the playbook or different things related on the football field. But he thinks a lot of it, too, is just off the football field and how important that is. And that's clearly been just the top line item for them all offseason. A couple of years ago, it was toughness. We need to get meaner. We need to do this. Like, there were all these, every year it seems like there's a theme of just, this is what we're really locked in on. This is what we're dialed in on and try to do off of the field, those intangibles. And I think that when you look at what Shotty's doing, he's clearly said, all right, everything else will flow out from the culture being right. And so that's got to be the thing that we're focusing on more than anything else during the offseason.
OTA recap on the home of America's team here on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan. I'll go ahead and steal from Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star Telegram, with some of his practice observations and what happened on the field. Pickens hauled in a pair of receptions on a quick slant and a comeback along the left sideline. DB Wanye Thomas played at safety and in the slot. The linebacker group was flying around. I think you had James and Buddy Johnson interceptions. Ferguson has added some weight, some happy relationship weight, maybe.
he appears to like he looks like he's a little bulkier, and so looks you know, look, you got to get in there and fight in the trenches a little bit in line. That's what we need from him.
If he does, he's gonna have to move that beard further down the chin. You can't have, when you got a little chubbier face, you can't have a chin line beard. It's not a good look anyway.
This is good weight. This is muscle. This is muscle that we've added here.
That's fine. But if it's the relationship weight, then you got to move the beard down.
Do the Pittman beard. The bourbon beard.
Yeah.
The name that I kept hearing and reading was Brevin Spann Ford. the backup tight end. Nick said he was unstoppable yesterday, multiple catches, including one where he separated downfield. Kevontae Turpin took some quick routes and made them into big gains. Speaking of special teams, I had read that Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders were back there on punt return.
So I wasn't over with the special teams when they were doing the punt stuff, but I had heard, yeah, that they had the backs back there just kind of trying to cycle through things. I think they're just trying to figure out who's our backup here. Who are we going to use in place of Turpin if we've got to, you know, have him out there for a series and we don't want him backed up coming right off of the punt unit. But yeah, I think that's basically they're just trying to find out who's our alternate here. Is it going to be Deuce Vaughn or one of these other running backs?
Nick continues, every time I looked up, it felt like Jalen Cropper was making a reception. I heard someone else say they didn't notice Mingo out there whatsoever. We're at number 81. Love the day from corner Kyer Elam on the outside. Had a couple of breakups and looked confident. Running backs were rotated quite a bit. Nothing really to take away there. And Israel McQuamu also got a healthy dose of work in the slot along with Deron Bland.
Yeah, it's a receiver group yesterday that wasn't flashing in a big way. Like, we didn't get a whole bunch of, like Nick mentioned, he had the two catches on the sideline, George Pickens. Those were the two times he got the ball thrown his direction at all during team in 7-on-7. So it's not like they were feeding the ball to him a lot. CD had a couple catches. This was mainly yesterday just about executing, getting guys into places where they need to be. It's similar to because there was yesterday a little bit of, you get the panic from people on Twitter when you say something like this, but there were a few interceptions yesterday. Dak threw a couple. Joe Milton threw a couple.
I never understood why fans get all upset over practice interceptions.
It's spring training pitching. It's like you're working on stuff or you're just simply trying to execute something.
You're trying to see what's broke.
One noticeable name not in the practice recap, Brian Schottenheimer. Where's 11?
He showed up a little bit the last couple days. He's been in and out some. I don't know if he's here yet today. He was here yesterday, had a great, actually had lunch with him yesterday. But again, when he's here, he's been great. And again, it's just, you know, it's all voluntary. So when guys are in and they're out, some guys come to meetings, some guys come to practice, some guys are just here getting treatment and things like that. And that's not just specific to Micah. It's specific to all the guys.
Where's Parsons?
He's next door. He was hanging out at the sports academy next door. He was working out with Myles Garrett. So
why didn't he just walk on over to, you know, where all the teammates are?
You know, he's done this in the past. He's typically done his own individual working out. So I guess I'm not totally surprised that he did it again.
Look, the balance continues. But I thought we were doing the whole leadership thing.
Well, he showed up. He did report. He usually doesn't even report to this extent that he has today where he was in the building.
Being on the field at the facility with the practices. And I'm not totally killing him. The balance continues here between contract, statement, give me the offer so we can get this done, and leadership. This teeter-tottering is going to continue until the deal is done of showing up, brand new coach, brand new system, and leader versus contract.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Shoddy yesterday, I thought, walked the line pretty evenly in terms of talking about, hey, Mike is here, and we're really encouraged by what Mike has done here so far. While also pointing out that Mike is not a total full participant, but again, it is voluntary. It is something that he's done. It is something, yeah, the famous Darren Hambrick line. It is something that he's participating more than he has in the past. So I guess they're kind of, and for the stuff that's important to Shoddy, the stuff about the team building and being around and connecting with people, they feel like he's meeting at this point. They feel like he has been present. He showed up to the golf course last week. He was in the building on Monday for a lot of the team building culture stuff. So to Shoddy, I think he's just like, as long as I'm getting him in the culture aspects, that's what's most important to me.
All right, there it is. You're Inside the Star recap on the Home of the Cowboys. We have an Ice Cube ticket giveaway at 7:20 here with the Hump Day Edition on 105.3 The Fan. Let's start getting you ready for Game 1 in the West. Stars, Oilers, the preview after this.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Want to remind you, this Friday morning in Mansfield, Firehouse 3 at 3100 East Broad Street. The Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour will continue. That's Whataburger that's going to be available for the people, plus special giveaway, a one-of-a-kind Sean and RJ t-shirt while supplies last. Right now, it's time for a special edition of the C Block, starring Corey Majors and from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and one-time KNC enemy, Harris joins the program. Nick, how are you?
Doing fantastic. Always frenemies, but yes. Doing fantastic.
Alex said he would laugh at that.
I'm glad we balanced this out now. I really like Nick Harris a lot, so this is good.
Me too.
Nick,
now
first question. My son signed my name on a waiver form this morning. Should I go ahead and like reprimand him for this, or is this quality stuff?
Okay, what was the form for? That's the question.
It was a Free Planet Fitness for the summer because he's a student, so he gets to go work out.
Are you a proponent of this? Does this allow him to kind of get out of your hair?
No, I mean, I'm perfect. Actually, we already have a rec center membership. Like, I don't know what he's doing here. We already have a gym, but yeah, he wants to work out with his friends there. I just feel like if he does this now, what else will he sign paperwork for?
Yeah, maybe that's a stern talking to, and you'd be like, look here, bud, this is my name for a reason.
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is the content Nick Harris brings.
And I like the demeaning bud that got added in there. It's a show of dominance. I like that. Now, Nick, this might be a cynical question, but when I see an article up that says Dak Prescott cleared for everything except contact, I don't maybe feel as enthusiastic about it as I think other people believe I should be.
Yeah, it's a fascinating part to be at, especially because I believe it was about a month ago when he was at the Children's Cancer Gala Fund in downtown Dallas. He said that if he had to play a game right now, he could. And so it's like, okay, but you're not 100% cleared. So what does that exactly mean? You know, at the end of the day, he needs to be cleared for contact in time for training camp, and everyone believes he will be. You know, whether he's cleared for contact right now or not, unless he's trying to play in these USL semifinals for the Renegades this weekend, I don't think that's going to be a big factor.
Hey,
the other day brought this up, and I know Christy Scales says this every year at training camp, but Broadus was, you know, saying, hey, OTAs, keep an eye on what guys are going in where at what times, like where they are in the rotation of things. And it seemed like Shoddy yesterday was like, you're not going to get anything from that. We're putting guys at ones and twos all over the place. We're just going to rotate it in and out. Anything you noticed regarding who's going where, or is that a real thing from Shoddy?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I had kind of gathered too. Is it was kind of a, hey, we're going to throw all these noodles at the wall and we'll see what sticks. And I believe that was intentional on the fact of, hey, this is the first week of OTAs. We're going to be doing that anyway. I don't think it was necessarily like, hey, the media is coming. Let's just throw everything at the wall so that they're not reading into anything. I truly believe, you know, when Brian Schottenheimer's talking about competition, he's truly giving every single guy on the depth chart an opportunity to come in here and win a job. And, you know, that begins with OTAs and getting everybody, you know, ample amount of reps, whether it's a guy like, you know, George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb getting quite a bit of time yesterday. Pickens only got a couple of targets, but he was still on the field quite a bit. Or if it's a guy like Jalen Cropper, who had like four or five receptions to my count yesterday as well, there's a lot of different options that are being thrown out. I think a couple of positions that stood out to me were the slot corner spot. I mean, obviously that's going to take a lot of importance going into the season with the health of Trayvon Diggs and Savone Revel. You know, what exactly is that room going to look like when week one comes around and they need to go play at Philadelphia to open the season? There's going to be a lot of questions involved with that. Arguably the biggest one is who the hell is playing slot, right?
Right.
And we saw Deron Bland, Israel Mukwamu. We even saw Wanya Thomas step up and play some slot as well in that moment. So it looks like they're throwing a lot of different options at that specific position. But if you're looking at me for a red flag, that's one that kind of stands out to me. It's like, okay, what exactly is going on here? And then at the running back spot, that was what I went into yesterday. It's like, all right, who's going to be going with the ones and the twos? And I really couldn't gather anything out of that. I mean, when the second team stepped out onto the field for the first time, it was Deuce Vaughn taking snaps, and there was a plethora of guys who took snaps at running back yesterday. So I believe it's very early stages of figuring out these position battles, but it is fascinating to see who's on the field with who.
Now, I'm really interested when you were talking about slot corner, because you mentioned a player that I'm a huge proponent of in Wanya Thomas. I know, obviously, I think it was the concussion issue that he ran into last year, but do you see a path for him to get more playing time this year? Like real playing time.
Yeah, I think it's certainly a possibility. You look last year, whenever there were some confidence issues being shown by the defensive coaching staff and Donovan Wilson, there were a couple of games last year where he was pulled midway through and Wanya Thomas was the one who came in. It was not Marquise Bell, which if you had asked me before the season, hey, one of these safeties is not going to play well this year, there's going to be another guy rotating in, I would have guessed Marquise Bell just based off the starting experience he had going back to 2023. But there's a lot of confidence in Wanya, and the locker room loves Wanya. The coaching staff really loves Wanya. They have kept him around in a special team's role over the course of the last couple of years, but there is an intention to get him more developed and ready for a potential role on defense if and when that time comes. And then throwing him in the slot, that was actually a question I had last year when we were talking about corner situations and what exactly could it look like when there's a million injuries. And I had asked him in the locker room, I was like, hey, is slot something that they have worked you on at all this season or like during practice or anything? And he had said no. But he would be open to it. So maybe this is just kind of a different philosophy with Eberflus coming in, being like, hey, you have the body type to work at slot. You have the hip mobility, the flexibility to do so. Let's try you out there and see if it works. I'm glad he's at least getting the opportunity to do so. I've always felt like he has that kind of talent to work on the inside as well.
I'm glad you bring up the Eberflus philosophy here, because I'm very curious what the emphasis for his defense is going to be. Everybody wants a great pass rush. But it always feels like he does so well with linebackers as a defensive coordinator. Where is his point of emphasis for this defense?
I would have to think, at least right now, early on, when it comes to the personnel development of things and getting guys put onto the roster, which is pretty much all he's done up until this point. Now they're just getting onto the field. Looking at the position groups yesterday, the linebacker group stands out. I mean, it is a completely different room than from what they walked off the field as last year. It was so much so that, I was looking at guys like Jack Sanborn that looked really good in one-on-one drills, team drills, individual drills. And then even guys at the bottom, like Justin Barron, an undrafted free agent out of Syracuse, he looked great yesterday. And, it's starting to get to a point where it's like, okay, can we start finding roster spots for all these guys? And then I walk off the field yesterday, I was like, man, I don't even remember seeing Kenneth Murray, just because there were so many linebackers right, in that group that stood out to me. And that was more so a positive, not more so like Kenneth Murray didn't do anything. I really like that second level and how that's kind of developed. I just hope that second level doesn't have to be asked to do too much by way of the defensive tackle room being a red flag right now as well. Does that make sense? It's more so
yes.
Like, hey, if the tackle room is not doing their responsibilities on early downs, is it going to be requiring this second level to be amping it up and taking on more responsibility as games go on? I mean, we saw that problem really rear its head in the first 7 weeks last season before the defensive tackle room could really figure out what exactly it was doing. You just hope that's not the same situation in 2025.
What is your confidence level in that? Because much like Rangers fans for a long time used to desperately wish for more pitchers and better pitching every year, it feels like Cowboys fans for a long time have been like, give me the inside DTs. Come on.
Yeah, and I think Cowboys fans would love to have the Rangers pitching luck right about now. Hopefully it would come with everything else involved. But with the Cowboys defensive tackle situation, I don't have a lot of confidence there right now. I don't. And I think that when you look at defensive tackles and corners, those are the two position groups I'm looking at like, ugh, things are going to get dicey unless they add a veteran here or, unless a guy really steps forward in training camp / preseason. Mazi Smith, I think Mazi Smith is what he is at this point. And I think going into year three, I think there is a certain level of expectation that you can pull from him and be like, okay, hey, he can work in these situations. He's at least a guy that's worthy of being on the field. I just don't know if he's going to be that 17-game starter for you. Is that Jay Toya out of UCLA? He's really stepped forward and proved that he's more valuable than a 7th-round pick. There were some draft experts that had a 4th-round grade on him going into the process, or going into draft weekend, rather. So maybe he performs more to that level. And I think that would probably give him more of an edge and winning a potential starting battle. But at the end of the day, you're relying on two guys that you still have questions about. I think they need to add a veteran or two to that room. You have Solomon Thomas. Can he slide over at that one tech spot and work? I don't know. I don't think I have a confidence in that. If it were me, I would go out and get a veteran one tech and hope that can help solve some of your issues.
I think the biggest question mark on the offensive line is still the left tackle spot and Tyler Guyton. Is there any way to know any advancements he'd made in this offseason? Or is it just we have to wait till training camp and preseason to see that? Or have you heard that things are kind of going in a positive direction for him?
Yeah, we're certainly going to have to wait until preseason training camp to really see what that second year jump has looked for him. And you know, it's Tyler Guyton's an interesting case because when he was drafted, you'd ask anybody in the building, it's like, okay, you know, tell me about this guy from your perspective. It's like, hey man, he's raw, he's green, but he's going to be really good for us. He's got a ton of upside. You know, we feel really good about where he's going to be once we get him in the building and get him situated. And if you had told anybody at that same exact point in time, hey, he's going to struggle his rookie year and there's going to be some issues, they probably would have been like, yeah, I could see that coming. But I think they maybe expected a little bit more on the back half of the season from Tyler Guyton. It's like, okay, yes, he had 14 starts in his entire college career on the offensive line going into year one, and he doubled that in his rookie season in the NFL. But there wasn't a whole lot of growth that you can point towards late in the season to be like, okay, that is a clear, distinct difference than when he trotted out in week one against the Cleveland Browns. It kind of looked all the same. And, you know, maybe it's injuries that he battled. He battled a knee injury throughout the year. He was he battled a really bad illness during training camp during that crucial instruction period. So, you know, there were things working against him too, but that's going to be the guy I'm looking at is like, okay, he needs to make a really big second year jump because they have not only invested a first round pick on him, but they put a lot of trust in him to being that guy at left tackle with a quarterback in Dak Prescott that is now on the wrong side of age 30. They're going to need him to be that guy and be the protector to help solidify that line.
What are you more excited about? The new coach saying, hey, we've spoken very openly about trying to create one of the greatest cultures in professional sports,
or
in-season hard knocks for the NFC East.
I'm not going to lie. Whatever, I don't watch Hard Knocks, and maybe I'm sorry to anybody who does. It's just it's not something that I find to figure out how to work into my weekly schedule because I think it just comes out at like 7 or 8 p.m. on HBO, and like by that time I'm trying to like kick back with the fam and you know watch anything other than you know what I've been working on all day. But so when that first came across, I was like, man, I'm going to have to watch Hard Knocks in December every week. That's going to be really received well. But I would have to say. I would have to say it's a little bit of both, right? Because you're going to see a lot of behind the scenes with what Brian Schottenheimer is trying to instill from a culture standpoint. And there's a lot behind the scenes that, you know, really hasn't been talked about and things that we may never know as far as, you know, what they are doing on a daily basis to just increase morale, increase competition, increase the overall culture in this building. And I thought Clarence Hill asked a really good question yesterday in the press conference, rare, I know, in that he was saying that, hey, you know, you've talked about culture. Does that mean the culture wasn't good before? Like, mm-hmm. How are you changing a culture that y'all have been talking about previous times as being good? You know, what exactly goes into that? He said it's more so just trying to make it our own, you know, and we're trying to make it a place where we all want to come and compete every day. And, you know, when issues do arrive on Sundays and we do have problems on the field, we can talk about it because we've had a relationship that we developed back at a dinner at the Cowboys Club in May or April to be able to, you know, work through some issues like that. And so I think that was a really good answer from Schottenheimer because I don't, you know, to McCarthy's discredit. Maybe we should get Bobby Belt on the line to help talk more on this. I think to McCarthy's discredit, he didn't have the strong relationship with his roster that, you know, some of even his assistants had. And, you know, when issues did arrive on Sundays, you know, he didn't really know how to handle those at times. So I think that's an issue that Schottenheimer maybe saw firsthand and wants to make sure that that's one of the bigger things that he addresses moving forward.
What's your prediction for the Stars Oilers series?
Oh, give me the Stars and six. Let's go.
Let's go.
I think this team's winning the cup, guys. I don't know a whole lot about hockey, so don't take this as like the insider expert saying things. But I don't know. The vibes are good, man. I went and covered game five against the who do they play? I mean, this is how much I know who they play last round. The Jets. The culture is strong there. The vibes are good. They're getting everybody back. They're full strength. If Miro Heiskanen can really find his way back to 100% before the cup, I think they're going to be rolling.
And Canadian teams don't win the Stanley
Cup.
That's
right. That's true.
It's an American.
That is true. That
is 100% an American
true.
Trophy. Thank you very much for jumping on with us. Really appreciate all the info, man.
Hey, thanks, guys. Anytime, fellas. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. Rangers Yankees tonight in the Bronx. The pregame is coming up at 5:30 here on the Fan. It's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here he is, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. I appreciate that. Thanks to Reliant as well. I think we got John Michaud on the line. John, are you with us?
I'm with you.
How you doing, sir?
Hey, Johnny.
Hey,
Doing well.
Tell us what happened today. I know that's the broad question, but what was John Machota's eyes focusing on today as you were watching some guys run around in some on the practice field?
So I did want to get out there early because I knew that there was a chance that would be the first time to like actually stand near George Pickens, see what the size of him is compared to these other receivers. And there's no question about that. I mean, it stands out big time. I mean, he is definitely bigger than the other receivers on the team. And so I was also looking to see like how much would they have him working in with the ones, how would he was with the ones the whole time. There was I didn't even see him run with anybody else. But the biggest surprise to me really was that Dak Prescott did everything that I thought for sure he would be limited to some aspect. I'm sure that on their call sheet, there probably are a few things that maybe he, you know, was out like an extra play or whatever like that. But there's nothing about anything he did today that would make you think he was coming off that hamstring injury that obviously ended his season. So that was probably the biggest one. And then the fact that, you know, Micah wasn't out there. Schottenheimer had said earlier in the day that he might not be, that he was in the building yesterday, but because these are voluntary, that he might not be at all of the stuff. So those are probably the most notable things. And I will say, when watching the offense, when they were doing some team drill stuff, and even talking to Jalen Tolbert about this in the locker room after, you know, Tolbert was with the ones with that first group, you know, with CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. And when they first broke and did team drills in front of us, those were the three receivers with the offensive line that you already know. But then the running back was Javonte Williams. But the thing that was interesting is that when they went to four receivers and then Turpin was in there, you can just see how that causes a lot of problems for whoever the defense is. And Turpin caught a short slant and turned it into it was a touchdown in this type of environment. I don't know if it would have scored in an actual game, but there, you can just see that when they can get all four of those out there together, that's going to be a tough time for whoever's the defensive backfield they're facing.
Hey, Matt, just though, with Dak, just the eyes on him, I was hearing whispers that, you know, the mobility, they were kind of moving him around a little bit. Everything looked to appear to be okay with him kind of doing that.
Yeah, it looked very similar to any of the practices, Brian, that you've seen out in Oxnard, where you know how it is when some of the passing plays, you know, the defense is doing a good job. So Dak goes and extends the play by rolling out on some plays that you're like, yeah, if that happened in a game, that'd probably be a sack. But they keep it going because it extends the play and allows them to work on some of that stuff and look the same as he's done in the past, which I'm not saying that I thought he'd be really limited. I just thought that he would get less work than what we saw. Like maybe not do the team drills, do the individual stuff. And then once they got in the team, that's where you'd see more of Joe Milton. And I mean, we saw a lot of Milton and he probably got more reps because the twos got more reps. But when the ones were out there, Dak Prescott was the quarterback.
What's your early assessment of Shoddy and maybe some of the differences that you've maybe noticed already? You got the shout out with the great question. That's always a good feeling. But you saw Jay Jeezy and McCarthy, just the early returns on Brian Schottenheimer.
There's a little bit I see of him in both those previous coaches, and then there's a little bit of his own thing too. I mean, there's some parts of Jason Garrett that I can definitely see with, you know, right kind of guy, building culture type things like that. But then there's a little bit too of Mike McCarthy that I see in him as well. But I don't think that there's anything that Schottenheimer's done since the day he's been hired that you would say, yeah, I didn't really think that was a good idea or that was a bad move. I think he's checked off every box. The thing I just keep saying is that none of this will matter though if on Sundays it doesn't look good. You know, if you can have an awful culture or you can have guys that don't get along, but up on Sundays, when the games start, they ball, that's what everybody will take. That's, I mean, this is a big money business. This isn't, you know, your local high school team where, you know, I wouldn't even go that far. I'd say your local little league team where you're happy, everybody's happy and everybody's playing and everything like that. Like, no, this is secondary. Winning must happen. The offense must be successful. And so everything he's done up to this point, like that we've seen, I mean, I can't say that I have any question marks about Brian Schottenheimer. So it really is just what we see on Sundays, because I think what you'll see in training camp will be impressive. I mean, he's all over the place, you know, going from one drill to another, which reminds me of how Jason Garrett was. And I didn't know that if he would be like that, because he's obviously calling the offense too. So we'll see how that goes during the season. But you can tell he's trying to bring the energy during practice, the blaring music and things like that. And guys are very upbeat. And so you can tell that there's a jolt of energy in the building. There's no question. But like I said, it all depends on what happens on Sundays.
Which players had the most impressive body transformation this offseason?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll tell you, every time I've seen Osa Odighizuwa, like he just looks like a guy that lives in the weight room. So he would be number one for me. But somebody that I haven't seen before in person, but seeing him today, Solomon Thomas is pretty impressive. You know, I've heard a lot of good things about him and stuff, but not seeing him in person, really, I didn't know, you know, the size wise what he'd be, and he certainly looks the part for sure. DeMarvion Overshown looks like an absolute monster. Now, he wasn't doing any of the team or individual. He was working off the side, you know, doing the resistant cords and things like that. But he certainly looks like whenever that knee is ready to go, he's every bit ready to go out on the field and probably make a big impact. But those would probably be the main ones. I don't know. Maybe it was just where I was standing, but I kind of thought Joe Milton would look a lot bigger than Dak, and he really didn't look a lot bigger. Like, he's taller. But he did. I thought it was going to be kind of like a Cam Newton type thing, which because he's got more of that type of a build. But yeah, I mean, obviously bigger, but not that much bigger than Dak is. And Milton had a little up and down day. I mean, the arm strength's crazy. I mean, you can just tell that, you know, the big play potential is there. But he had he threw a couple interceptions. The rookie linebacker Shamar James picked one off, and then the other linebacker Buddy Johnson
picked off.
Yeah. So a little up and down or whatever, but I mean, he's still learning the offense and that. But he'll be one out in training camp that'll be interesting to watch because when he lets it loose, I mean, the arm strength there is crazy.
John Machota here with you from The Athletic. Shoddy talking about Micah's absence. I was trying to figure out if he's bothered by it or he just loves the fact that Micah's been to what he's been to.
Yeah, no, I mean, just my interactions with Brian Schottenheimer coupled with that, what he said today, I don't get any sense that he's upset with Micah with any of this stuff. And I think he's happy that whatever Micah is going to show up for, he'll take it, because I think he's very aware that, as we all know, that in these contract situations like this for a player that could become, you know, the highest paid non-quarterback in the league, they very well could just, he could go down to Austin this entire month and never even step foot in the facility and nobody would say anything. You know, I mean, CD Lamb missed a huge chunk of last offseason, you know, because of his contract. And so I think that he's happy to get anything as long as that, you know, and it seems like Micah is in good spirits and you know, his issues, if there are any, it's with the front office. It's not with Schottenheimer or anything like that. It's about getting the contract done. And the way Schottenheimer's handled that is very similar to the way Mike McCarthy was with that stuff. I mean, him saying today about how he's like, I got an agent too. You know, that's all part of this thing. We understand that, you know, that there's going to be guys that miss time because of this stuff, because of the business side of it. So I have not gotten a sense at all that there's been any frustration from Brian Schottenheimer.
With all the rehab corners that they've got right now and then Lewis leaving, what stood out with the rotations and what they were doing at DB?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say Kaiir Elam, definitely the speeds there, you know. Kalen Carson being back out there, but I'm a little cautious about that group. I want to see that group out in Oxnard and see what it looks like there, because I think there's still question marks at the position, and you wouldn't sit there. That doesn't do anybody any favors for Brian Schottenheimer today to say, yeah, we're not done at corner. Something needs to be added there. Let the guys go and compete and find out and see what you have once you get out to California. But would not surprise me at all if there's another move to be made there. And the reason I say that too is just because even if you do think that Savon Revelle will be ready for week one, it is still coming off of a major knee injury. And then whenever Diggs is ready, mid-season, whatever it is, let's say a month into the season, whatever, that still is a major knee injury that when these guys get back, you don't know that they're going to hit the ground running perfectly. And so because of that, and because of how many good corners you need in today's NFL, you know, that's the position to me. I know people mention running back and defensive tackle, and I'll listen to that for sure, but corner's number one for me. That I don't think that they're completely done at corner.
John, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, John, last couple minutes here about Booker and stuff like that. You know, the previous regime was like, oh, guys have to earn it. Booker, right guard, running with the ones, that kind of thing. Did you notice anything about that?
Just to be completely honest with you, I didn't. And the reason why is because we can't do video at these things. And so a lot of time when the ones were running, I had my phone out ready to take a still picture of anything thrown to George Pickens. So,
oh, I got you.
I mean, that's the only reason I'd say that I probably didn't watch the line of scrimmage as closely as I normally would. And then the other part of it is just because I generally, and Schottenheimer mentioned a little bit today talking about the run game, like this setting, like I just don't put a lot of stock in just because the pads aren't on. No. So that's the only reason that I would say that would be my, if I had to grade myself on watching today's practice, my weakness was certainly the line of scrimmage.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. I just was curious of making sure where they line up. I know you're not going to get the benefit of the combo blocks and the pulling and all that stuff like that, but I just was curious if, because, you know, last year, the last few years, you know, Mike McCarthy is like, oh, we're going to make these guys get over on field two and work, you know, the threes versus the fours, when this guy was a 12th overall pick.
You better damn be running with the ones.
Yeah, that's what I was just curious about, John. But your other stuff is absolutely great. Really do appreciate that.
You're the man,
yeah,
John.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I wish I would have paid attention more to that. And I will from probably other practices, but just because this was going to be the first one with George Pickens, I would say 95% of my focus was on him.
Gotcha. There's no way of gauging who running back one is going to be at this time, but if you had to bet, what are Jaden Blue's chances of winning this thing?
If I'm betting my own hard-earned money, I would say week one it'll be Javonte Williams. By the end of the season, it'll be Jaden Blue, and I think Jaden Blue will be this team's leading rusher. I'm not saying that'll be 1,000 yards, but I think eventually he'll take it over. But I think Javonte Williams, a guy that I believe, if I heard him correctly, this will be 2 years removed on his knee injury. Today he was talking about it in the locker room after. So I think there's a good chance that he's the vet, that they'll lean towards him to start. But I think eventually that Blue is the one that will take over and be the primary ball carrier. I mean, it'll still be a mixture. I don't think there'll be any, like, lead dog type thing, but I think at the end of the year, I'll have the most rushing yards.
Well, thanks for your insights, sir. Heck of a job, and we look forward to catching up with you soon.
Absolutely, boys. Thanks for having me on.
There he goes, John Machota of The Athletic, a must-follow on Cowboys Twitter, doing a heck of a job covering the OTAs. DJ Shippey in studio as the Stars get set to host the Oilers in Game 1 tomorrow night. We're back with him in the Nation.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.